step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance 411. I'm Nicole Shiro, and today I'm with guest co-host Bob Tolero. You're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby at koop.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
Well, it didn't want to read my disc here. I don't like that. And we may have to switch it. Isn't that weird? I'll have to swap CD players out here in a second. Well, that's just a stinkeroo. Hello, Bob Tolero.
Hello, dear Nicole. How are you, my love?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Working, going, moving. Never stop moving. Keeps you young.
I think we're all like that. And Ginger, I just realized you were on mic 4, not 3, so let me turn 4 on. And Ginger, say hello to, we have Ginger Morris in the house.
Hello.
Ginger, I don't think you understand. We say your name so many times every week. Ginger Morris, we love Ginger Morris.
Oh, and that's true.
Oh my goodness.
We miss you, and when are we getting you into the studio?
Really?
And you're here. I know, and I feel bad that Lisa and Nick miss your presence during the show, but I feel blessed.
It's nice to be here with you two lovely people.
I feel
so
blessed.
Happy to have
I'm
her.
I'm just gonna test and see if this CD player is working.
Go
now
ahead, press
I swapped.
Buttons. Press buttons.
Let's see
Ginger
if
and I'll talk about people.
Let's see.
You pick the person, and I'll start talking.
Let's see if this song works.
Rastafari.
My songs today. Since we will have songs now, are all songs from the Tony-nominated musicals, because Tony nominations came out.
They did.
Oh my God, so exciting. So that was from Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet, 1812. And I can say that all in one breath.
Yes.
And we're actually going to play two songs, the only two songs you can download and get at the moment, because the entire album isn't out yet. It's only pre-order. Comes out in 2 weeks.
With the Grobe?
Yeah, with the Grobe. Okay. Now, there is the whole like concept album. You can buy that. But this Broadway cast with the Grobe. I love my Grobes. Comes out in 2 weeks, so there's two numbers available, the prologue and Letters, which I've told Bob Tolero 500 times, and I think I text Lisa Shapps. I just love the song Letters.
We speak of Josh Groban.
We speak of Josh Groban as the Grobes. The Grobes. Okay, so before we get to the Tonys, we should talk about the three openings that we had. As I pick up my script from the floor. Bandstand. I was kind of excited about Bandstand opening, and it kind of just got a...
Fizzle?
It wasn't
You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was... I should take this back. There were two thumbs. We had New York Times was the... Time out.
I know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Time out. And New York did thumbs up. Hollywood Reporter did not like it at all. I don't know. They say that part of why I like it is it's similar kind of to what they did in Company and Sweeney Todd with the actors playing the actual instruments, but they do actually have an orchestra like on stage too. So it's a little bit of, they say the versatile actors play their instruments live with the rest of the orchestra hidden in the pit.
Oh.
So, you know, I think
that's a hybrid.
Which is a hybrid, but I think it's, I don't know, it kind of seems important to me if you're doing something like Bandstand. To me, I'm like, well, that adds some, it's kind of like Million Dollar Quartet. The guys need to play, or are you really going to believe? You know, so
right.
I think it's great that they took that in there. Yeah. They went on that they didn't really cover the African-American influence, especially with this director being the choreographer from Hamilton. But then they were like, then, you know, they backpedaled saying, but I guess there really wasn't a place for it. Same thing about women and their place in the war. And he's like, but I guess in the story, there wasn't really a place for it. So it was a weird review. I'm like, are you reviewing what wasn't or should have been or what was, what you saw? But the final sentence says, if Bandstand really worked, the finale would find you laughing and crying. Instead, you just might make it like the dancers and shrug. And I was like, oh, well then, yeah, I don't know. I, you know, Laura Osnos says she silvery voice. I mean, like, of course she's got a great voice and does it. They seem that some, they, you know, they gave some little nods out. They didn't like a lot of the set. They said it was clustered. Oh, really? Yeah. It wasn't really, which I thought was weird. I'm like, this isn't a blah. I feel like no one wants to say anything bad against Laura or anyone that did anything with Hamilton. So we're just going to leave it. So we just won't in the middle, and we'll talk about other stuff.
Play it safe. Uh-huh.
I don't know. It was weird. This was not Ben Brantley that reviewed it, though.
Uh-huh.
It was Alexis Solinsky. Is it Solsky? Solowski? Solowski. I think it's Solowski. Yeah. And I'm sorry if I butcher people's names. It's not on purpose. So then the other thing that opened, and I was really upset. This headline made me upset, but I love what this product is and what they do. So I'm going to talk about it. The 12th Night just opened up in New York and it is part of the Public Theater's mobile unit, which, do you know that, Ginger? The public mobile unit has been going around for about 60 years now. They take Shakespeare into people with performances. They take it to the people from schools to prisons. I think they have a whole list.
Parks.
Shelters, correctional facilities, community centers, and they bring Shakespeare to the people. Awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. The review of this production of 12th Night, forced merriment in a 12th night for the masses.
Well, there you are. You know. Wow. There are no guarantees, even with a good writer.
I was like, oh, forced merriment. That is that. Oh, ouch, ouch, ouch. I mean, and they're honoring 60, and they give him kudos about saying it's in their 60th year. And this is, they're doing, it's a 5-borough tour. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer that they got
on the 60th year. This is what's going on. Yeah. And in honor of this anniversary, they're also, you know, they're giving away free tickets to other people in the public, I guess. So, which is something. Yeah. And so they've changed it up. They're doing all these celebrations. They wrote, a lovely gesture, but a customary ratcheting down of expectations is in order.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, they set this production in coastal Florida and sprinkled it with Spanish. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's kind of cool. I mean,
but perhaps it was not executed.
Yeah. They said
to them for doing, you know, it. That's right.
They actually like some of the set and the stuff. They mentioned every single cast member pretty much in every role, whether it was good or bad, which was kind of like, I'm like, that's a lot. So they have house music and they have Latin music going on. I don't know. It's, I don't know. And it's sad. They wrote, muddled Shakespeare can leave audiences blaming themselves for failing to get it. And it can, in fact, turn them off from trying to get it again. I know. Shakespeare, done brilliantly, though, is a revelation. And a revelation is what the public should be helping its mobile unit to achieve. So I was like, okay, well, they're telling the people, don't give up on Shakespeare.
Yeah, they'll get some more funding.
So, I mean, they've been going around 60 years, hats off. There was probably one kid out there that was totally touched by this and heard something or saw something that they could relate to. And that's the whole point.
Exactly.
So, you know, what's a review? Review. Unless you're Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, I love Laurie Metcalf.
And you're in a Doll's House part two.
Right.
Because, oh my God, that's the other one that opened. Yeah. And can we just say love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter, a sequel ass. who's knocking on the door at a doll's house. Ben Brantley, this was the Ben Brantley, he said, a door that was once slammed so hard that the noise could be heard around the world is now being knocked upon most insistently. And the opening moments of Lucas, I think, is it Nath's? Is that how you say it? Nath's? Yeah. H-N-A-T-H, right? Nath's? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Funny and utterly engrossing new play, which opened Thursday night at the Golden Theater. Audience members laugh at the sound of the demanding tattoo being beaten upon that door. And that's probably because they've guessed who's on the other side. Welcome back, Mrs. Helmer. If that's the name you still go by. And just what do you have to say for yourself after all these years? And he just went on. And I'm like, he had fun writing that. He doesn't always have fun. So
let's go.
Yeah, I know. I got really, really excited about this. He was quoting the characters because he was saying that's how he felt. He talks about Nora saying, keep guessing. This is fun. And he was saying he was having just a great time. He really enjoyed most performances. I mean, Laurie Metcalf's Laurie Metcalf. Oh, she is star. Like...
For those who can't remember, Laurie Metcalf was Roseanne's sister. And she's a seasoned Broadway
Let's
actress.
Give her kudos she where kudos is so due. Much. She helped start Steppenwolf she in a basement marvelous. Outside in Evanston, Illinois. With yep. Gary Sinise and John Malkovich when they were 18 years old doing arsenic and old lace in a church basement. So, I mean, that's... Yeah.
Hats off.
People forget that. Oh, I'm like, you guys brilliant. Do know that The Goodman was started in a basement by a bunch of 18-year-olds who are awesome sauce. Kevin Spacey, John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf. I mean,
it can happen.
I know. It's just one of those great stories that should be told more. She's just...
She's great.
Yeah, she is
and
some...
she got nominated, I think. So
she, yeah. I believe she did. She did.
And perhaps we should do more theater in basements.
Perhaps well, we should so, do more theater
no basements in basements.
I was like, but we have no basements
we have no
here.
Theaters, so we should...
Well, we can't get we a theater built. How are we going to get a basement built? Oh, right. My God. Although I felt like I saw a house for sale recently with a basement, and I really? Got so excited because someone, I think someone moved here and really wanted it, so they built it. But I was like, which I know, but I was all like, oh, man, I miss the basement. There was something about shenanigans in the basement.
Oh, you can run away from your mother and father and go down the basement.
Yeah, man. We hung out all during the holidays. We were always so awful hanging out in the basement. And then we finally got a pool table in the basement. And that was a whole nother level of shenanigans.
Basement theater. I like that.
Ginger. Basement theater.
Jump on it.
We have attics. We can do attic theater.
Attic theater. That would be the Texas basement.
We need fans and air conditioning. You know what? We're going to get on that, folks. Attic theaters.
Okay,
attic.
We'll do, we'll
not attic.
Oh,
attic.
Uh-oh.
Attic. Attic theaters. So yeah, the Tony nominations came out. And did you expect The Great Comet to get as many nominations as it did? 12.
No.
It led the pack with 12.
I know. I'm very thrilled for them. Even though when I went to see it, the usher said, you may want to read the synopsis in the program.
So you'll understand what's happening.
Yeah. So I kind of left. Not quite connected to the story, but totally connected to the production.
Well, when you turn around and, you know, my mom kept going, well, what is it about? And I'm like, it's a pop opera based on Tolstoy's War and Peace. And it's like quiet and crickets. Like she was like, what? Right. And then when you're like, no, but it's like immersion theater. And then you're like, you send the music and the... She comes in and goes, oh my God, this is everything. I go, it's kind of like Sideshow, one of the most brilliant musicals ever.
Right.
But trying to sell someone, it's a show about Siamese twins. It's another one of those crickets. And it's but this obviously did not cricket because 12 nominations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is, we were talking about this off air. This is a tough year this year. I feel like a lot of people, I would have a hard decision voting myself.
Although, is anyone else surprised by the only four best musical?
I was surprised by the revival of a musical. There was only three, and I think some of them weren't eligible. But there are only four. Yeah. The best musical nominations are Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, Groundhog Day, and Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812. All four I thought would be up there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Without any doubt. But I feel like there would have been more, but did we not have any other? Well, no, we did.
We
because
did have other potentials.
Some were snubbed.
Yes, they were really... I mean, these are the four we keep hearing about and hearing about and hearing about. But yeah, it really... I don't know. Hello, Dolly got 10.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, no one's shocked.
was it Dear Evan Hansen? Did they get 8? I think they got 8.
Groundhog
I don't have the number in front of me.
Something.
Groundhog Day. Yeah, it was weird. I really thought Dear Evan Hansen would have way more than some of these others. And I thought Groundhog would have more than... I thought like Dear Evan Hansen would have more than Come From Away. And I thought Groundhog would have more than Natasha Pierre.
Well,
that's what I thought. And I was wrong.
I haven't seen... Sadly, I haven't seen any of them. But it seemed like the thing about Dear Evan Hansen that everyone keeps talking about is Benjamin Platt.
Right.
And the thing about Come From Away is more universal. Like the whole show is so...
It's the package,
right?
Yeah,
it's true. That's a big ensemble piece.
I think what's cool was 4 American writers made a Broadway debut and are running for Best Play. That's awesome. Oh. When you think about all these incarnate, I mean, Groundhog Day came from England. I mean, Charlie definitely got snubbed. Poor Charlie. But we can't laugh at Charlie. They already announced 2018 tour. So, you know. Charlie's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you have all these things coming from England and to see 4 playwrights. 4 playwrights are American and nominated.
That's
awesome sauce. Lucas Honth for Doll's House Part 2.
Yeah.
Lynn Nottage for Sweat.
Uh-huh.
JT Rogers for Oslo. And Paula Vogel for Indecent.
Terrific.
Yeah. Comet. I don't know. And then now everybody's wondering, can Bette or Ben be beat? I was saying to Bob Tolero, I think Andy Carl could give Ben Platt a run for his money. And I say this because of all of the shenanigans that went down with opening night and The Show Must Go On and this guy coming out, and he's been nominated so many times. He really is. I personally am in love with him, but he really is a talented guy that I'm like, uh-oh, that might be the...
Right.
That makes fresh, it interesting, though, right?
Well, I don't know how that works.
Ben is going places, and I don't think this will be the only time that we ever see Ben nominated for anything. I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, we have Kevin Spacey now co-hosting.
No, that's exciting.
We were talking about. He was. Did you? I don't know if you listened that day or if you saw the quote when he was picked, because he was the 15th person they asked.
I did read about.
Did you read his quote where he was like, "I was the 3rd choice for Usual Suspect, and I was the X choice for American Beauty, and now I'm this X choice, but I, you know, maybe one day I'll get somewhere or something like that."
Right.
But he's never the first. And
he's
I was
so
like,
funny.
"Oh my God, what a great sense of humor you have
Very
to make."
Guy.
Yeah. So
maybe that's what makes him work so hard. If he was ever real, no.
Maybe.
But it's definitely not going to be like song and dance show like you'd get with Hugh or Corden or Neil Patrick Harris. He can sing, but he's not really
a showman.
Glitter and gold lamé pants kind of ruffly.
That's true.
So, which I don't have. That's totally fine. That's cool.
He'll do Jack Benny jokes. Just stand there.
Listen, there is nothing wrong with a little waka 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 moments in life. I truly wish we had more. But Bandstand did get a choreography nod.
Nice.
Yeah, crickets. See? Crickets in here too.
Crickets in here too.
So I don't know. So at Dallas Theater Center is getting the Regional Tony Award this year.
Theater, yay.
Can I tell you that my favorite production I ever have seen of The Tempest was at Dallas Theater Center in the 80s. I was at school across the street at Arts Magnet, and we got to go across the street. And I just remember, I cannot remember the gentleman's name who played Ariel, but he was everything.
It
was set up, they had the whole, I mean, some of the set was taller than you were in some of the chairs. It was levels of docks, and Ariel was, I mean, this was before Spider-Man, but Ariel was flying in and out of these crazy docks. I was kind of like... And that was before NFL camera technology. So I don't know how they did it. It was the 80s. But I still talk about it all the time. Ann Ciccolello's like, boy. And I'm like, yeah, that production stuck with me big time. So
I know.
Hats off.
They've had a great long, and they've had about four or five artistic directors since Paul Baker, and now Mr. Moriarty is running the theater, and they're doing marvelous stuff. So kudos to them. Kudos to
them. Well, it would have been cool if it was Zach, because you know they are going into their 85th anniversary. Just saying.
Their day will come.
Keep it Austin. I mean, happy for Dallas, sure, but sure. You know, I'm just playing one devil's day. Advocate. And James Earl Jones is getting a special award, and they're bringing the Sound Awards back.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're gone for not too long. There was so much protest about people not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Lisa and I, we talked about it on backstage, the way they're voting, they're only letting specialists vote, but I still can't find the number of like how many specialists are there and how many. I mean, it's obviously not six people in a room, but like, right. Who are they and how do you vet them what are you? It makes sense. I mean, if I'm not a sound person, how am I voting on great sound?
I don't
know.
If you're not a costume person, how are you voting on costumes?
I don't know. And I don't know how they break it down either. I mean, a sound designer for a musical is one thing. A sound designer for a play that has a lot of
new and
inventive but I think they're, sound like.
Aren't they separate? Aren't they two categories? I think they're one is for musical, one for play. It's overall.
No,
oh, they lumped them all. Yeah, see, someone in the sound Broadway world, please fill us in on this whole, like, what it all means. We need to know.
Yeah, like Circumference of the Dog. I mean, God, it was amazing sound design, but it wasn't a musical where you're just mixing the orchestra.
Right.
So I'm not sure how they judge that.
There's an article in the Times. I'm not going to talk forever about Tony's because I know we'll talk again with Lisa next week. There's an article in the Times that made me laugh so hard. They sat down and basically interviewed each other. Jesse Green and Ben Brantley, the theater editor Scott Heller interviewed the two of them about what their thoughts were on the Tonys. And Ben Brantley was over in England, so they were making jokes. I was laughing so hard. But what's really funny is when he keeps saying which show or which show, they keep saying, you know, one day I think it's going to be this. And then the next day I think it's going to be this, even though they're pretty set. It's a hard one. I'm like, yeah, see, they do say that they think Bette and Ben will take the stuff. But then he said 2 months ago, I would have said it would have been totally Evan Hansen. Then you asked me a week later, I think the musicals come from Away. And now Andy Carl, the trooper in the knee brace, is coming out and could get the comp. It's exciting.
It should be that way.
And you know what? I think that's what's so cool about it, is so exciting. And I know our listeners can't, but I printed this picture of the Grove smiling.
Show it.
Do you hear that? They had the Tony Awards react. I just laughed. They asked Laurie Metcalf, Josh Groban, Ben Platt, Andy Carl. They asked them some different questions, like about the reactions after the Tonys. They asked Josh Groban, so do you plan to return to Broadway? There's no question. I'll be back. I was like, no, you won't, Grobes. I think you found a home. You know, Andy Carl, everything's rainbows and unicorns in his world. First of all, how are you feeling physically? I mean, fantastic. I mean, football players can't even do what you're doing. Right. I'm telling you, Hugh Jackman and J.J. Watt better watch out. He said they asked him where will you put your Tony? And he said, I'll let my wife figure that out. She kisses the Olivier every morning. I'll leave it up to her. I was like, smart man. Ben is just like, why are you an actor? Ben Platt says, I feel most at home on stage. I think I've known that from a young age. And that's where I feel most tuned in and connected and present.
Bless his heart.
I mean, they're just all these little answers and all these questions are just so endearing. We'll have to post that online. So it made me smile. But this made me laugh, guys. You guys have to tell me what you think about this. So did y'all see Britney Spears musical? Did you see that in a headline anywhere?
You're the first to tell me about
Talk. With the name Jerry Mitchell, may I add?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Ginger's mouth, like, let me pick your mouth up off the floor.
Wow.
So it looks like it's going to be a catalog of her music. So he's having a conversation with her about a catalog of her music. Yes, I know. It's not going to be autobiographical in any autobiographical. Yes, mm-hmm. I couldn't get that out. He said it will not be that in any single way, shape, or form. It is not going to be like In Your Feet. It's going to be songs woven together to tell a fictional story, much like the international hit Mamma Mia.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they went on and said,
Bob
some
and
of,
I are thrilled.
Well, here are some of the songs they were talking about. And I was like, I don't even know where to go with this. Give me more. Oops, I Did Again. Toxic. Circus. 3. Scream and Shout. Womanizer. And Baby One More Time.
Is she going to star in it?
No, I guess not. Well, then. But the Baby One More Time. I have to tell you, I guess it's theater related because we'll make it about, it's about James Earl Jones. But someone, he didn't know who Justin Bieber was. I don't remember what talk show this was, but someone, do you remember this? Someone handed him the lyrics to Baby and he read it. And this is James Earl Jones. Baby, 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 oh. Baby, 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 no. He's like, who is this man? It is hilarious. I don't know who gave it to him, but I died and I'm like, oh. And God bless James Earl Jones for like going on. He's like, I don't know. And I love that he doesn't know who the Bieber is. Yeah. That gives me faith in life. But yeah, I don't know where that's going on. But Jerry had a conversation with Forbes all about this. Yeah, so we'll see where that goes.
Hey, you never know.
You never
beautiful
know.
Beautiful went beautiful, and Beautiful is still going.
Story. Yeah, but Beautiful has a narrative to it. Like, that's a, like On Your Feet has a narrative. It's not like Mamma Mia that has its own. Yeah. Like, they're going to try to write a new story. It's like what they did with the Tupac Shakur musical. They're going to use Tupac's music, but write a totally different story.
Yeah.
Which is odd. I don't have a problem with pop because I truly think Justin Timberlake should write a musical. It'd be brilliant. I thought Prince should have written one before he, you know, there could be one in the vault with Prince and we just don't know.
Yes, the lyrics, but those people's lyrics are a little more advanced
than maybe Britney. Yeah.
Than Britney.
That's what I don't know. But on Happy News, the NEA received increased funding through the 2017 fiscal year.
Uh-huh.
I am doing Jersey fist pumps in this
absolutely
place.
Absolutely. When that happened?
It just happened two days ago?
2 days ago, I think.
Yeah, May 1st.
Yeah.
So it's $150 million. No, the NEA and the NEH both received an increase of $2 million. So it'll be now a total of $150 million each.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
This is really, really cool. There's a really good article, and then we can link it with Playbill, and it tells you about how you can reach out to your representatives, or if you want to learn more about voice and support, like they have links and information on how to do that. The Chronicle had a really interesting story about how cutting NEA funding would affect us, the city of Austin, not one individual organization, but us as a cultural city. And that was just put up on the Chronicle 3 or 4 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And that's another really interesting story. We can switch that over. This I'm really excited about. And I'm kind of speeding through stuff because I want to talk through stuff and I want to play a Randy Rainbow because Randy Rainbow did a new song and we have to play it. Lisa made it an MP3 for us. I'm kind of really, really, really excited about this. I saw it in a small headline and I was like, wait, what? And I had to go back. All I saw was Warhol Capote. And I was like, what? It is the world premiere directed by Michael Mayer. It is a play based on a series of conversations between Andy Warhol and Truman Capote. It could be totally awesome and amazing or crazy train wreck because I can't really tell you what was going on in either of these two gentlemen's minds.
Who could?
At the time. But apparently in the late 70s, Truman Capote and Andy Warhol decided they were destined to create a Broadway play together. Yeah, the plot thickens, right? Curiouser and curiouser, says Alice to the Caterpillar. Over the course of the next several months, they would sit down and record a set of intimate, wide-ranging conversations. The play never came to be, and the hours and hours of tapes were lost to the ages until now.
Oh,
fascinating.
Now I'm intrigued.
That is right. Interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now I'm there.
So Rob Roth discovered the recordings in the late 2000s, and he unveils the contents of the tapes in Warhol Capote. In fact, every word spoken in the play comes from the mouths and Warhol of Capote. It's very coarse line without the music.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, is it right? So it's going to be done at ART, American Repertory Theater. Oh, it's place. Part of Harvard University's 2017-18 season. So I cannot wait to see more of what this is
That's
all
terrific.
About.
That's terrific news, honey. Thank you for
isn't
that.
Isn't that? Yeah, that was like I saw the little headline. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? So Randy Rainbow, we talk about Randy Rainbow all the time. We love the Randy Rainbow. Randy Rainbow came up with a new little song, and this time he used The Wicked, and I'm just going to play a little bit.
You're just not, you know where I'm going with this, popular. You're really unpopular. The country's fed up with you and what happened to all your pledges and your plans, like care that's affordable and a border wall and your schmucky travel bans. You're unpopular, like super unpopular. The swamp that you didn't drain despite your campaign, all the stuff you couldn't do, and how sad that even your wife won't move in with you.
Rainbow just sits in his house and churns them out.
Yeah, he does.
He just churns them
he does.
Out and makes me giggle.
Well, he's got so much material to use from.
That's true.
Like,
that's so true.
Imagine if we just took everything in life with a grain of salt.
Oh.
Like that all the time. Like, God bless him for that. I just adore him. So thank you, Randy Rainbow. And I bet you... We'll put a link up to that one for sure. So I am now going to take a little break here with you guys. We're going to come back and talk to Ginger. But that little sweet Dear Evan Hansen, I'm going to play a little bit of that.
Dude.
I have to tell you all, Lisa and I, this conversation. The nominated musicals this year do not have multiple choices of songs you can play on the radio.
That
yes,
it is a little difficult. I just want to let you all know, except for the Great Comet of 1812. There so far has been
because you don't know what they're saying anyway, so yeah. It's fine.
But okay, but yeah, here's a little Dear Evan Hansen. We'll take a little break and we'll be right back.
All we see is sky.
So Ginger Morris,
yes.
Let's just get all this out. Ginger Morris,
Ginger
Bob saw me
Morris.
Recently. He's less enthusiastic.
We work together. Once
oh my
in
God,
a while.
Ginger
so
Morris,
fun.
You're here. You are here.
It's happening right.
It's
now.
It's happening right now. So we don't have to take a moment in the middle of us talking here. I asked you for a number earlier. And you gave me the magical number. Was it 33? Right.
That was it.
Okay. Let us see what you chose for 33.
Hi, I'm Ben Main with the cast of South Pacific, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
It was Ben Main in South Pacific.
How did I choose Ben Main of all people?
You know Ben Main?
Oh my gosh.
Do you really?
Yeah, very well.
Okay, that's funny, Ginger.
What? I used to guest direct and choreograph the musicals out in Dripping Springs, and he went to Dripping Springs High School, so I directed him in several shows, and then he did Summer Stock Austin one year.
That is totally random out of like the 50 numbers on there.
You
chose that. You were like, I know this voice. I love it when it works
That's
out hilarious. Like that. Oh my goodness.
Unplanned.
So Ginger.
Yes.
You're here. I don't even know where to start with you because, I mean, we're here to talk about Texas Arts Project and the camps, but you kind of have your hands in so many different things. We're always talking, we've been talking about the Greater Austin High School Musical Awards forever, which is your little brainchild, and like, you are that fearless leader, and you just do so much good in Summer Stock Austin, and being the education director at the Long, is that the title at the Long Center? Ginger, like,
When do you sleep?
Yes. When do you sleep and what do you do? And like,
there are small pockets of the year where I get, you know, full nights of sleep regularly, and you just cherish those, right?
Right.
I cherish that you're here. Let's start a little bit about the Texas Arts Project and the camps that are coming up. And I should say that our own Nick Mayo, who is not here today, is one of your peeps and part of this whole thing. What a lovely little write-up on him last week in the Long Center newsletter. I was like, Nick.
Mr. Nick.
Mr. Mayo.
Love Nick.
He's pretty terrific.
I know. So, you know. We had to hold the Mayo today, and I don't like that.
I know.
You missed our Nick squared because we didn't. Yeah, there's nothing. It's like. So, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So we're pretty excited about the summer. We started Texas Arts Project in 2003.
I was trying to figure it out. I was like, it's got to have been 15 years now.
We're getting there.
It's 14. You're close. That's really close. Yeah.
Wow, awesome. Okay. So it's going well.
it's still there.
It's happening.
Yeah. So basically we have students from all over the world. Mostly Texas, but all over the world. And it's a sleepaway camp for the performing and media arts, actually. So for 9 to 13-year-olds, it's musical theater. So we have a one-week camp and a two-week camp for that age. And then for high school students, they actually major in either musical theater, acting, or filmmaking. And then we have an extended week that's a college prep week. And it all happens in June, and it's a collaboration between the Long Center and St. Stephen's Episcopal School, where the camps are held.
Oh, they are at St. Stephen's.
They are, yes. And so it's such a pretty little campus. You're going to go to sleepaway camp, I'm like, oh, and the beautiful rolling hills with granite.
You can see Matthew McConaughey's house from.
Don't tell the children that, Bob.
Oh, okay. I won't talk about that.
That's adult talk.
So they take over the dorms there? Is that what they do? I see. Very nice.
And they're quite nice. I mean, you know, it's still white walls and linoleum floors, but the dorms, you know, are larger and the rooms are larger with vaulted ceilings and yada. You know, my freshman year of college at UT, I was in Gesture dorm.
seen better days.
Oh, man. Uh-huh. So every time I talk to, you know, campers and parents, I'm like, it's better than most freshman college dorms.
Right. No,
it's not a cabin. It's actually a dorm with AC. So
it's a beautiful
and the
space.
Campus is beautiful.
Yeah, the campus, really the facilities and the campus there itself, like you wake up and not. It makes you want to dance and
really
sing
lovely.
And perform.
So you get international people. How do you advertise for that, or they just come to you?
A lot
you?
Of it
How
is either word of mouth or internet. So we have two campers coming from Mexico this year.
Terrific.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. Now, you have to fill out a form and everything. Is there an audition process, or you really kind of accept everyone and it's...
It depends which...
of what
you're
going
at.
To. Okay.
Uh-huh. But for the 3-week camp for high school students, we actually accept anyone. And we have tossed around for years the idea of doing an audition. But the truth is that the way we set up and structure the camp allows us to take anyone from wherever they are and help them to grow. So if you're
That's
at the beginning
so cool.
or you've been studying for 12 years, you're getting the training to get you, you know, beyond where you think you can even go in these 3 weeks.
Oh,
and
that's
part
terrific.
Part of, I think what's great is when you have 3 weeks or 4 weeks of concentrated time, you're not going home every night and having distractions. You're absorbing a lot more. And you're with other people who have that same passion and that same drive that you have, and you get to sort of work with each other. And then our faculty and our staff are so incredible and care so much about each camper and making sure that they're...
Do you guys all stay on campus too?
Some of us...
Kind of like rotate out and if like... Some stay a few nights and kind of some stay other nights.
Most of
and
us stay there. So I have literally spent a month.
That is so
in a
cool.
dorm.
You know what? I would
once
love
a year
it.
For what, 14 years now
yeah.
going on. And it's cool because you feel like
connected. And that family.
Yeah. So we have a residential staff. And the way that works is that they're usually college students or teachers mm-hmm. who have the summer off and want to come play. And they are sort of responsible for the campers when they're not in class or rehearsal. And then the college students who are counselors are TAs for their classes.
Okay.
So they are sort of, you know, it allows the opportunity also for those college students to participate.
I was like, they get to experience something different than just training, but
right.
they're still getting training.
Exactly.
In a different.
Exactly. And getting to share what they're learning with, you know, up and coming students is, I think, a cool
process. Oh, that's very good. Do you do a showcase at the end of each
we
section
do.
Kind of thing?
We do. So the junior camp that 1 week has a short showcase at the end of the week, and then our 2 week junior camp's a little longer. And then the 3 week senior camp is like a 2 hour extravaganza.
Of course, if Ginger's
you know,
doing it,
I like an extravaganza.
I love it.
It's we actually
you didn't
do
know
it.
Your name was Ginger Extravaganza Morris.
You know,
it's Ginger it. Extravaganza Morris.
It's
suddenly I'm Italian. I mean, yeah. I am Italian,
oh, you are,
but
yes,
suddenly
it's
I'm
just
like,
coming out. It's coming
yeah,
out.
Suddenly I'm first generation Italian.
I hear you.
Yeah, so it's a sort of a 2 hour event of different songs and scenes and monologues and we weave it together. We choose a theme, a fairly broad theme each summer, and the campers do a free writing exercise based on the theme. And then we use their anonymous writing to sort of weave
oh,
together
how cool. oh, that's great.
The monologues, the scenes, the songs,
uh-huh.
the big numbers.
I love it.
Yeah. And so it's more pressure on the staff. We're
sure.
up late till 4 a.m. trying to figure out what we're doing, you know.
But aren't you surprised by what they write?
Oh, my gosh.
Because
incredible.
I sat on and read and judged some of the plays for Young Playwrights for Change. And, I mean, these kids are in middle school. And I'm reading this stuff going, whoa.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. I just find reading what they put onto a piece of paper is so exciting.
Yeah. Well, we also have, I was saying we have a filmmaking program.
All right, right. Mm-hmm.
So they actually, we added this year a 1 week for filmmakers. So if you're new to filmmaking and want to just come do a week and
what
sort
I was
of
pulling out my papers
blurred.
As I was frantically yeah. going, because I was like, wait, this filmmaker thing was new or you added it on.
Yeah. So we've had the 3 week camp for several years. And so if you want to do filmmaking, you actually get to make a short film. So we only take, the most we've taken is 7 in mm-hmm. filmmaking for the 3 week, just because they literally each make a short film. And so
yeah, that's a lot
the
of time.
Whole first week, they are learning the process of filmmaking and also taking screenwriting classes and developing their short film. And then the second week, using the musical theater and the acting majors, each day a film gets shot. And so the filmmakers rotate each day to a different job.
So like a cluster, like you would at a school performing arts, like a cluster.
Yeah.
Like your focus will be this today, editing, and tomorrow your focus will
so,
be
yeah,
writing.
It would be, so for week one, you're writing your own film.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
For week two, each day you're shooting a different film, and that's when you rotate. So one day you're sound for someone's film, and the next day
so
you're
cool.
cameraman
for mm-hmm. someone's film, mm-hmm. and then on the last week you edit your own
it's
film.
Summer stock for filmmaking, where you get to
yes.
learn all the theatrical
yeah.
but in a film.
And last year the student made this film that I still am blown away by. It was a mockumentary
uh-huh.
about, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this on the air, but you stop me if I say something inappropriate. this, I think he had just finished his freshman year of high school, and it was basically about mimes and clowns, and it was analogous, I guess, to homosexuals. So basically, like, everyone loved clowns and hated mimes. And so this kid...
Interesting.
This mime kid...
I just made a comment that kids don't know who mimes anymore.
Well...
If you say Marcel Marceau, but this kid does.
Yeah, so there's a mime kid with...
like a puppet?
No, his parents are two men who are clowns. And so he is coming out as a mime to his two dads, and they are like, you can't be a mime. Mimes are...
How old is this
intricacy
student?
Of how old?
No, I'm telling you.
How old is this?
He had just finished his freshman year.
It's what I'm saying. My mind has been blown.
Yeah.
We're going to take one short break for just a second and get a little... messages out to folks, and then we will be right back. We're talking to Ginger Morris about Texas Arts Project that'll be going on at the St. Stephen's Episcopal School this summer, June 4th through July 2nd. If you're trying to figure out what we're talking about, you can go online to texasartsproject.com to get more information. But we're going to come back with Ginger here in just a second and talk a little more.
Never give up hope.
Well, hello. Somehow we keep getting the Dale one beforehand. It makes Lisa and I laugh. I was telling Ginger, Dale's on our disc. He's done a legal ID for us. It's a really funny one. He's like in the bathroom and it's not okay. We know we love, Nicole loves me some Dale Watson. So we are here with Bob Tolero and Ginger Morris, and we are talking about the Texas Arts Project. I want to go back and talk some more about that. Because I can't miss it. Just want to talk local. Bob, you had something local you wanted to talk about going on?
I think there's some things going on. There's a 10-minute play festival going on at the Hard Park Theater. There's the Austin Shakespeare. They're doing Comedy of Errors out at the park. Oh, I hope you all go and see some of that as well.
There's... I'm mispronounce it now because I've been thinking about it so many times.
Improved
Shakespeare. Young girls, 14, all women, playing all the different roles, and they're also doing Comedy of Errors, so I think that's kind of cool. You get
right.
The adults with Austin Shakespeare out in the park, and you can go see the youth, which we were talking about. We've been talking about how amazing youth are. And that's improvedshakespeare.com. for more information. And then our other show at The Vortex, and I wrote what that website is. Can you read my writing on there?
No.
My Big Fat Badooty?
My Big Fat Bahookie.
Bahookie, thank you.
Yes.
There was a review about it in the Chronicle this week. It's playing at The Vortex. I just think it looks darling. I can't get
very
my computer
funny.
Open to do the thing, but that was the website, mybigfatbahookie.com. I'm sure The Vortex, because Bonnie's good like that to have it on here. Today in theater history made me happy because that is some Cheetah Rivera and Candor and Ebb right there on the front. Kiss of the Spider Woman, 1993. Does it seem that long ago?
No.
I mean, it does, because I was just talking about Shakespeare for my father and Lynn Redgrave. That was the play that changed one of the plays that changed my life.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And I got in a fight with my friend because I wanted to go to Kiss of the Spider Woman and, oh, we're going to Shakespeare. I got them both. So I knew it was 93, but I just still.
That's like the top of my bucket list of directing musicals. I want to do that show so bad.
It's
really?
Such a beautiful show. I think The Rink and Kiss of the Spider Woman are two of Candor and Ebb's most brilliant shows that people don't do enough or do. And the stories in them, I mean, it's, again, Terrence McNally, so I mean, but the stories in them are just so amazing.
Yeah.
And then with the music that, yeah, I know. Oh, I'm on the same page. But yes, 1993. Isn't that crazy? Had 906. It was at the Broadhurst. Won 7 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. I'm going to go a little backwards, though. 1988. Speed the Plow with Madonna. Do you remember that one? Yeah,
sure.
Quiet in here for that one.
Didn't see it.
In 1960, if you had $55, producer Laura Noto may have called you. He was trying to get the musical adaptation of Les Romanticas The Fantastics. Yep. He was putting it all together. If you had $45, you could have been
part
of the story and been in on the Orbach. Speaking of Dallas, in 1947, William Eng's Farther From Heaven opens its first production in Dallas before it went to New York. I never realized that. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I didn't know that either.
Birthdays today. Alan McMahon, Walter Slezak, Joe Layton, Doug Henning. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Magic.
Magic Man.
Howard Ashman, Robert Guccioli. I guess that makes sense, too, since we just had the Phantom in town, and he was Phantom for a while, and Jekyll and Hyde and all those crazy people, and Bobby Cannavale. Yeah. I mean, he is older than me. I thought I was older than him. So who knew that Bobby Cannavale? So that was today in theater history. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, I'm going to go right into talking back to Ginger again because you've got some cool stuff going on. So, Ginger, we have a few more minutes. Tell us a little bit more. Now, kids can still register for camp, right? I think registration's open. Did I see the 25th?
The 25th, yes.
So, TexasArtsProject.com.
Correct.
And you have up there, if people wanted to learn, I saw that all the classes were broken down and you have maps up there and you really have all the information about all the department heads and your entire staff and bios and...
Yes. So visiting the website does give you the the most amount of information possible.
Is there something on there that if someone's looking, they're like, well, I want to know what's the key or the question you kind of get a lot that you're like, well...
yes, of course, cost is always a question. It's actually one of the least expensive in
there.
The country.
But I saw there were scholarships and all that
and
information.
And we do have financial aid, so that should hopefully will not be a deterrence for anybody.
Will you be affected by the NEA grant?
So I work for the Long Center. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so yes,
with the Long Center, yes,
yes,
and
tangentially, you are.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, let's just shout out to you, your creation. What a beautiful piece you had in the Statesman on you and the program, Michael Barnes.
Well, and thank you, Michael Barnes.
Stunning piece on, but it wasn't just about the program, Ginger. It really was a love letter to you and what you have done for this community and what you continue to do for this community and what you do for the next generation and watching them grow. I mean, you really, I don't know how, if you know, you're going to make me cry, but I don't know if you know how special you are
to
this community and to the future in these children. And these kids participate in Austin Shakespeare, in Zach, in kids acting. I mean, they aren't just in one spot or one school. You have made them form their own community, as we adults have.
And I think that's one of the, probably the most, I don't know, beautiful outcomes of all of these programs is the community building. It's that all of these students who, you know, are part of our network and part of what we love about our community are building a community and finding ways to care about each other and about art really about the...
Especially an outlet for creativity. Kids are sometimes don't have the chance to show what might be inside them, or they don't even know what's inside them. But a program like you, all the stuff you do for young kids in this community, it just sparkles. You see them. I've seen them sparkle. I've seen them laugh at you when you mention your name and they say, oh, that taskmaster. But they love the love that comes back at you is 1,000-fold and very well deserved. We love you.
Thank you both so much.
Yeah, you do
it.
We're running out of time. We didn't get to talk about Circus 1903, which I wanted to talk about. So next week I will talk more about it.
It's a cool show.
It's
that's
so
coming,
cool. No. And they were. It was so funny. Amy and I have been talking about it. We want to take the kids, and then they were on the today. They were on Rachel Ray recently this week, and somewhere else recently. And I'm like, okay, this is like really
it
super.
Looks really
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Does. So I'm gonna go.
I'm gonna talk more about that. But that information's on the Long Center. Is the Greater Austin High School Musical Awards info on the Long Center website too?
Yes.
So that information is at thelongcenter.org. You can see all the good stuff Ginger is doing there with her education programs. friends. But you can go over to the Texas Arts too, but you can go to texasartsproject.com for more information on the camps from June 4th to July 2nd. Thank you guys so much for coming on here. I didn't get to play all my tunage, but we're going to play it like a hair of... In the 19th century, we write letters, because, you know, the Groves is everything. Nice. And we'll be back with Lisa and Nick, and we'll see you when we see what's going happening on offstage and on the air. Thanks for having us.
There is darkness, only
here we are all backstage on CD disc. It won't work, the musical. We had that happen a lot today.
Oh, yeah.
It just keeps going.
Oh, really?
Or dead space. Dead airspace.
It wasn't operator error. It was just the machine.
No, actually... No, actually, today I would have admitted if it was operator error today. No, even after we got off air with that, Tracy was like, yeah, it's not reading this. And then it didn't read another disc. And it wasn't just of how it was burned. So we did have to swap CD players in the mid-show. And then we didn't get that other in. So... We'll play some letters. We'll play the letters at the end of this little backstage at offstage segment.
Terrific.
We're so lucky because Ginger came backstage with us behind the dumpsters. So we could learn a little bit about Ginger. So, Ginger.
Yes.
Where are you from?
I am from McAllen, Texas, which is the bottom.
Teeny.
I was just there.
I know.
I was just about to go.
With a table. Some table legs.
Table legs, yeah.
I was about to say, it all comes back to the tuna tour.
It all comes back to tuna.
Now, you know that was the first time tuna has ever been on McAllen on a tour. That was first time tuna had gone to McAllen. Isn't that crazy? Oh, wild and crazy.
I mean...
But McAllen seems to have a pretty good art scene.
Okay.
Well, or was it? Is this in recent since you were there?
It's
a snowbird city, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've been gone 20
years. Do you still have family there?
I do, yeah. I don't visit much because they prefer Austin, so they like to come here. But I was born and raised there. I was there for 18 years. And it has grown so much in the last 20 years. You don't recognize it.
It's like people really saying that about Austin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot of chain restaurants. And now every chain restaurant is there. And we had the Civic Center. So, you know, when I grew up taking ballet, we did our little shows at the Civic Center. And we had one, maybe two dance schools. And the one that I went to is still there.
So how did you get into theater in Little McAllen? She's laughing at this. Is it a good story?
A huge thing in McAllen. They weren't. But so I started out in dance. I started out in ballet when I was little. My mom danced growing up. And so she put me in dance, and my personality is not quite right for the ballet room. The rigidness and the quiet is not really.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What could you possibly mean by that?
I don't even understand that one at all.
You mean discipline?
Just not for me. You know, that like bun and the pink crocheted thing on my head, just not my bag. So, and then I did choir. And blending is not really my bag either. So I found theater where you got to express yourself and got to play roles. And there was a little sort of theater, community theater, and they had some classes for kids. And a friend of mine was doing this summer camp, and I spent the night at her house one night. And so the next day she just took me with her. And I watched camp, and I was like, this looks so fun. Cool. And so I joined that group, and then...
Do you remember your first play or your first musical, what your first production was?
Well, actually, when I was six, my dad was friends with a lot of theater people from the university, And they were doing this show called No, 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 A Million Times No. It was a melodrama.
Oh, my God.
Melodrama musical.
I love the title. No, 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 A Million Times No. That could be our show in the Attic Theater.
It could be.
See, back to my roots. And, so, yeah, they needed the tiniest milkmaid. And I was six, and I've always been the tiniest person in the room. And so there were, I feel like there were 40 other milkmaids. There were probably 10, but the world, when you're that small.
Yeah, it's huge.
Really, really grand, yeah. And so my role was basically, you know, to be in these milkmaid song and dance numbers. And there was one little bit where the line of milkmaids was from highest to shortest, and they were all supposed to exit one way, and I was supposed to start to go the other way, and one turns and whistles, and I run back. You know, that was literally like mm-hmm. my moment. And we all had milk pails. That was our prop. And I got the flu on like night two of the run, and I'm standing backstage, and I try to find an adult. I'm like 6 years old, and no. I was like, I don't feel good. And she was like, it's okay, just go on stage, and when you get back, we'll take care of you. And I was like, no, I really don't feel good. And then I just hurled into my milk pail.
I was like, bitch, you have a milk pail. Yes. Like, if that was like in a prop. Ever,
This is an episode of some TV show.
I was just about to go. It's a sitcom if it I is. Haven't it's seen wonderful. It.
Yeah. Really.
It was my Modern first theater family. Experience. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it. So you ended up in Austin. Was it UT?
It was. So my high school theater department was very strong. And we did one-act play, and we did musicals, and we did these lavish productions on minimal budgets. And it was great. And in the summers, there was actually a community theater about 20 miles away in Weslaco. And
I love that. Weslaco. Yeah. That's another fun one to say.
And we would do these community theater musicals in the summer that what do you call them? Snowbirds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these summer musicals in this community theater did great because we had all these
retirees
people
were coming.
Yeah.
They had money and they had nothing to do.
Absolutely. And they would come see us perform in these shows. And so I spent the majority of my summers growing up I worked at our Parks and Rec day camp for theater.
Awesome.
And my family, we ended up in McAllen because my family had a produce company.
Oh, interesting.
And so I would go from 7:30 to 12:30 and work at the produce shed.
I love it.
And then go help with these camps in the afternoon and then go to the little town 20 miles
so
out to
be
in theater.
Always kind of had like a leadership, mentoring, teaching,
so
sharing,
you got the bug
giving.
Then, early.
You had it early.
Yeah. I mean, people, I think some people, my stepmom is also a high school theater teacher. They got married when I was in my 20s, but she was around when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And she remembers. She'll tell stories about how when I was in high school, I was running the theater. Like, I would answer. She would call to talk to my theater director, and I would be the one answering the phone in the office, like, you know, organizing.
You've always been a facilitator.
Wow.
Like, always.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Trained
I
early.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
so
I came to UT to major in theater having no idea what I wanted to do in theater, just that was my life, so I'm going to go do it. I guess I was on, like, the track to be a theater teacher, but for some reason, teaching in a classroom is not at all what was – I did not have passion or drive to do that, so I didn't – you know, I just sort of took as many classes
as I think what you're doing is working for you, though,
you know.
So –
Well, it's also helped to be able to tell young people who don't know – like at 18, what their life is going to look like.
Right.
That
right.
technically is every, you know, you can't know the future.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
I just went with my gut and went with what I knew and sort of was open to whatever came my way.
I don't think we want to tell the kids at 18 they'll have another one of those, oh God, moments about in their 30s, too.
Right.
Let's not scare him too much.
Every 10 years after that.
Oh, God, what am I doing?
Your reflection and future.
Or the one when you get close to 50 of, oh, Jesus, this is what I did my whole life. It's wasted. I didn't do anything. Like, we'll just leave those lessons out of the picture.
Think positive. You've done things you don't know.
Bring those in unicorns.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. What kind of a department did they have at the time? Did they have musical department there as well at UT when you were there?
No. You know, musical theater was not even... I mean, I did musicals, but that was not really my
love.
So
did McKelvey get you into the musicals? Who got you into the musical?
We have to credit Scott Thompson.
Scott Thompson.
Yeah.
All right. Scott Thompson, hats off to you for introducing Ginger to the musical.
Yes.
The musical.
I didn't know. I really honestly... I think I saw a sign up at UT in the hallway that these guys had moved to town and they were offering this musical adult auditioning for musical theater class on Mondays for 3 hours. And I called home and begged for $200 so that I could go take this class because it looked so interesting. I really don't even know what drove me to some poster. And so I met Scott and Richard at this class, and they had already auditioned for the first show they were doing, which was Peter Pan. And after about three...
Which is my other Annie in life. Oh, my God. I'm just like...
You can still play it.
Yeah, you can do it. Come on.
Kathy Rigby did it. She's still doing it.
I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. My niece saw her 4 years ago in New York. I took
Kathy?
Her. And there was Kathy.
Still there.
Let me just tell you. I wish I could do splits and flips and everything Kathy's still doing. She's like almost a great-grandmother at this point. And... I guess that's what happens when you're a medal-winning gymnast.
Yeah. She started pretty young with all those splits and flips and stuff.
But, I mean, to still be doing it and consistency. Oh, yeah. And she was – look, she was good. Tom Hewitt was Captain Hook.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice stuff.
That is like – but, you know, and the last time I saw him before that was as Frankenfurter. But as I tell Lisa – Captain Hook and Frankenfurter are two same people. One just wears a puffy shirt over the lingerie.
I have a great Kathy Rigby story. Yeah. I'll tell you at some other time.
So Peter Pan. I know I made it all about me. I'm sorry. So Peter Pan.
I just I went up to Scott after one of those classes and said, I was 19. I said, I know you've already had auditions, but I would just really love to work with you guys, can I do something? And he said, you know, we don't have in our budget, we didn't budget for an assistant stage manager. You seem pretty organized, which who knows how that, you know, I don't know what organized looked like when I was just taking a song and dance class, but okay.
Must be in my eyes.
Yeah,
my forehead
sounds good. I'll
but
take
of course
it.
I was like, what? Thank you.
Organized? That's me.
And so he said, if you would like to do that as a volunteer job, we'd love to have you around. And, you know, at the time we did not have so much internet. So I went to the library at the University of Texas and checked out every book on
stage management. Did you pull out your microfiche?
Well, yeah, right? That was so there still.
Well, you know what? I think kids know what microfiche is now because people are into searching for your ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
And so microfiche has made a comeback.
Oh, wonderful.
In the research.
Yeah.
Looking for grandma.
But I think that's about it.
So I checked out books on stage management. I had never been in or worked on a show where we officially had a stage manager. Mm-hmm. I did not know what that meant. And so I read, 5-10 books. I also didn't know that I was going to be the only stage manager in the room until the Equity Actors arrived with Bill Sheffield 2 weeks before we loaded in. Uh-huh. So I had 4 weeks of just 19-year-old
You really
me.
Just got thrown right. You know what? It's almost the best way to learn at times.
It is
you...
the best way to learn oh my gosh. I had no idea I was like supposed to be. I really didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. My diagrams for like taking blocking were extravagant.
I want
like
to see
beyond,
them. I want
oh,
to
I
see
can
them.
Bring you
I was
some
like,
books.
Do you look now
them.
And just giggle and go?
Well, I had like 50 different colored pencils. I was like drawing diagrams for like
love
dance
you.
Numbers.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know.
You know what? My first stage managing book was like that too because I was like on. I was an actor for so many years, and I'm like, well, this must be what they do. I know they write the blocking down. I get it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
That's wonderful. I spent years stage managing, and honestly, that's how I learned. It's weird to say this, and everyone still says it's bizarre, but I learned like 70% of the like choreography that I do, I learned from sitting there as a stage manager and watching.
I was about to say, you probably, because you're very, you're silent, but you watch. That's something about you. You're always taking in. You're a sensory reader on everything going on. So you probably picked up so much on acting, or on directing, I mean, not acting. I'm watching directors.
Absolutely.
Because you do direct. I mean, I have worked with you, and you do direct different than a lot of other directors in an awesome way. And now that I know all this other, I mean, I've known you forever, but now to know some of these other little stories,
yeah,
so many little like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it makes sense to me. So oh, that's a cool journey, Ginger.
Yeah. So I don't know, when I ended up running the Austin Musical Theater Academy, mm-hmm. I opened and ran it for the time that it was around. And so I had a lot of connections. And when the company folded, people sort of, I didn't know what I was going to be doing. I was like, oh, I'm out of job. Interesting. And people started calling and saying, that's how Tap Camp and Summerstock started. It's just people called and said, hey, do you want to try this thing? And I said, well,
not
I
doing
have
anything
nothing else.
Else
to do.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm so glad you did. And we have a little long backstage today. That's okay. You're fascinating. You have to come back to backstage so we can learn more about you and pick up on the journey and learn more about how all these things started, because I could talk to you forever. It's awesome. So your dream, you mentioned on air earlier, I mean, your dream, what other dream musicals do you want to do? You mentioned Kiss of the Spider Woman. But
that has just been on the top of my list for so long.
Is there any? Well, you know, there could be some producer out there that wants
just never
to
know.
Do.
You just never know.
Is there any other musical like that that's been calling to you, or a play? Is there some piece that has moved you?
My favorite musical is Gypsy. All of my favorites are big sellers.
Mine too, though. But you know what? I just said to Bob recently, I want someone to do Gypsy because I want to. You can.
You would you be in a heartbeat.
I so just want to. That's the best number. I just want to come in, do that number, and be like, thank you.
I just want to do Little Lamb.
Little Lamb.
Yes.
Little Lamb.
Getting a live lamb on stage is a good time.
I saw Arkansas Rep do it. And when they started the rehearsal, it was a little lamb.
Oh, no.
By the time I saw it, it was this big.
Full,
and she
yes.
started singing it, and it kept
did it replace the
her,
lamb?
And I was just,
no.
No,
you can't.
It just
you
grew
know,
and got older and bigger.
I have to tell you, so we did Gypsy at AMT, and we needed a little lamb, and I drove to San Angelo to find a lamb. yeah, that's right. because lamb... They only give birth at certain times of the year. You actually have to do Gypsy at only certain times of the year if you want
a little one. Otherwise,
that's
you get
hilarious.
A big sheep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Trivia.
Well, I didn't either. We didn't know before either.
The things we've learned today at backstage and offstage.
Love it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll play a little Gypsy. I feel like maybe we'll play some Letters coming in. No, Letters was playing in the opening, so we can go out with a little bit of Gypsy. Don't you hear it? I hear it right now.
It's great. Which one is it?
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.